Hey there, you are listening to Port Zero, a Polygon Studios podcast and your port of entry to the metaverse. I am Brian Trunzo, metaverse lead at Polygon Studios, and I'm joined here today by Mark Studholm of MetaMundo. Mark, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me on the show, Brian. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a few weeks, and because our cadence is every 2 weeks, if there's one hiccup, you get knocked a month into the future, right? So here we are today on May 12th recording. We will be airing 14 days from tomorrow. So just a little bit of context, the bear market has arrived, we think, right? There's some blood in the streets, there's some FUD, there's some fear. How are you doing right now?
We're doing pretty good. We don't have our treasury in Terra. Which obviously got the hit, right? And that kind of triggered a lot of things in the past few days. We do know of a few projects that have their treasury in Terra. And let's see what happens. For us, even if it is going to be a bear market, you know, we're very comfortable in what we're building. We believe that for us at MetaMundo, it's really about building groundbreaking technology for the metaverse, and the metaverse is here to stay. I don't think that's going to be affected at all by market fluctuations. So for us, it might even be a better opportunity to put our heads down even more and just get building even better technology for the metaverse.
Yeah, I love that sense of what I would call reasonable optimism. You know, before we started recording, we were talking about this not being our first rodeo. And to retrace some of that ground back out and talk about MetaMundo for a second, the previous rodeos brought us DeFi and NFTs, right? So what's going to come out of this rodeo? We'll see. So I'll kick that to you, give you a chance to talk a little bit about MetaMundo, what you've been heads down building, and what you're going to build through this rodeo.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's a good target. There's a good roadmap. It's the rodeo roadmap, we'll call it now. Yeah.
The show has started.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We'll ride that bull. Or bear. But a little bit of a background. I have a background myself in architecture and design. Never actually practiced architecture and design. I've always built technology to enable architects and designers. I think 13 years ago, I was involved in building one of the biggest social networks for architects and designers. That's called Arcello. Then I built an e-commerce marketplace for furniture makers. Then, talking about market crashes, 2017, I launched one of the first ICO platforms in the Netherlands. So that was a big learn. And if we carried on building from then, actually, you know, the ICO platform, we would have evolved into the IDO platform and see where they are right now. The launch pads are, you know, the last time I checked, are doing pretty good. So full circle, my career as an entrepreneur has been about empowering creators, building technology to level the playing field. And I saw that MetaMundo, the metaverse needs to be built. Who's going to build it? And architects and designers, I think, are the best placed profession to do this. So we set out to build the first dedicated NFT marketplace for 3D. Everything from vehicles, buildings, avatars, everything that's 3D. And our mission is to make sure that these 3D assets work across multiple metaverse platforms. So we want to solve the interoperability problem. We have developed our own smart contract based on an ERC 721, which allows to have multiple files, multiple 3D files within one NFT. And these files work across multiple metaverse environments, including Decentraland, Spatial, CryptoVoxels, and many more. We launched our Meta Portal in February. That's our first NFT drop that we did to showcase our technology and to kind of announce Metamundo to the world as a builder of 3D NFTs and smart contracts, and to soon be launched marketplace. We sold the Mint Pass in February, and literally 2 days ago, we did our swap for the Meta Portal. So any Meta Portal holders out there, please visit metamundo.co/metaportal, and there you can actually redeem your original Meta Portal for the actual Meta Portal, which this is using our custom smart contract. And with that, you get these interoperable 3D files that work across these different environments. So it's actually one of the, I saw that we're in the top 10 best performing NFTs of the past week with the Meta Portal, which after such a week, we're a nice bit of respite for some people. So this has been really exciting. Actually, if you own the Meta Portal, you can put it on your land, you can put it in different environments such as Spatial, and it's a portal to different destinations, different metaverse experiences. So the first experience right now is a scene within Spatial, built by a really great 3D artist, well, a great artist, NFT artist called Dutch Tide. And this is actually going to be one of the first 3D NFT drops when we launch the marketplace. It's called Zen Garden. It's a one of one. And this is one of the first experiences that you get as a Meta Portal owner to go and experience this unique metaverse space. And it's an example of one of the drops that we'll be doing on the platform. So that's where we are up until today. And the rodeo roadmap is we are going to be launching the NFT marketplace itself. So building a 3D NFT marketplace is a totally different beast to building a 2D NFT marketplace. File sizes are much bigger. The file sizes are fragmented. You have GLB, you've got VOX, you've got OBJ, many different fragmented file types for metaverse use cases. The file sizes, like I said, they're not JPEGs, so they're going up to 1 gig. So we've had to, we're the only platform that you can actually mint a 1 gigabyte file. OpenSea's limit is 200 megabytes, for example. So we had to increase that limit. Decentralized storage, of course, is more difficult with 3D files. So we've built a whole 3D NFT marketplace dedicated to showcasing 3D assets for the metaverse, and also making sure that these 3D assets work across these different worlds. So our plan is to launch this marketplace. Our current estimated launch date is within 1 month. It's looking really good so far. And we'll be launching with a number of kind of really interesting artists and creators. And you'll be getting scenes, objects, things that you can put on your lands, you can experience in the metaverse, you can use within different games. So we're building up to the launch of the marketplace and testing. The team's got their heads down and making sure that everything works. And so far, it's looking very positive.
That's great. You said so much there that we can unpack. I don't even know where to start, really. So maybe I'll start with what I know best, which is Metaportal. As a very proud 1500 OG holder of the Metaportal who redeemed his 3D asset this week, it's been great to watch you guys build. But one thread I want to pull on is the co-creation and collaboration side of what you do. You know, you are such a critical part of this infrastructure that's being built, this patchwork that will become the metaverse, right? This idea of multiple virtual worlds, experiences, digital things that compete with reality and recreation and social media. And you guys are really there to help create treaties and pieces, maybe is a way to put it if you're a fan of history. So what was that process like in terms of getting people on board to collaborate on what would become scenes within their virtual worlds. You know, we had Jacob from Spatial on a couple weeks ago, and he's just an incredible person there. The whole team there is incredible. But what has that process been like, and how do you guys see yourselves positioned within this emerging metaverse?
Our main goal is that we came across this core problem that creators felt too restricted to go and create and build in just Decentraland or just the Sandbox or just CryptoVoxels. The constraints for them to create assets for these worlds were too restrictive for them, including, you know, the polygon count, the file type. When you speak to a really great game designer or 3D creator, they want to go into the software of their choice. That could be 3ds Max, that could be Blender, and they just want to have full reign over their artistic work. And we saw that this was the problem, that these worlds, we, you know, the aim of the game for us is all of these open metaverses, and open metaverses, I mean Decentraland, Sandbox, all blockchain-backed metaverses, we all need to work together. It is all WAGMI, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. We need to get those users from Roblox, from Fortnite, into these worlds. And how do we do that? We need to build really engaging, sticky, interesting experiences. And people need to feel ownership of these experiences. So how do we actually encourage, you know, this army of architects, designers, game builders to create for these open metaverses? So for us, we want to take all of the barriers away for them to actually mint 3D scenes and to make them work across all of these multiple environments. For us, we're big fans of Spatial, for sure. It's technically, you know, an open metaverse. You can insert your NFTs. You can use your MetaMask there. They've built a great engine that basically powers the scenes. It's social. So right from the get-go for us, the scenes and the experiences that our creators are making will be compatible with Spatial, but they will also be compatible with Decentraland and with CryptoVoxels. So our vision is to be this underlying content layer. If the Web3 vision is that we own, you know, this little part of the future of the web, then we should also be owning the assets that we're experiencing. And that if we own a chair in real life, we can take that chair from one house to another. We think that if you own a car in the metaverse, you should be able to take that car from one metaverse to the other. Or if you own a house, you should be able to take that from one metaverse to another. So for us, that's our vision. You know, it's not our intention to go and build our own metaverse that competes with the likes of Other Side or Decentraland or Sandbox. We want to actually enable this army of architects and designers that we have behind us and make it as easy as possible for them to build for all of these platforms and for the users of these platforms to actually own an asset that works across all of them.
That's great. You know, we like to keep it above the tree line and stay macro on this podcast, because I would imagine most listeners are not hyper technical. So this question may skew into the technical, but if you can be above the tree line with your answer, it would be greatly appreciated. You know, in talking about interoperability, questions what the process is for actually developing multiple scenes that can live across these virtual worlds. So as you touched on earlier, it's not the same file type, not the same file size, not the same aesthetic. You know, a car may be in voxels in Sandbox, but maybe in low poly Blender and Decentraland, maybe high fidelity in Somnium. What is the process like on the technology side of what you're doing to disseminate these assets into these virtual worlds with the fidelity of the aesthetics of those virtual worlds? And then an add-on question to that, for virtual worlds that are not yet in existence, for ones that people are going to build, how will you address that?
So this is coming back to that core vision that the creators they want to make the best version of their art possible. So when they're actually building these worlds, they're building them in 3ds Max with a very high polygon count, with you know, a very high level of detail, and these are heavy files. So there's two, before I move on to the next part, I think it's quite important to note, there's two different paths to, let's say, the definition of interoperability. One of them is where you have one file that works across all of these different worlds, and that requires standardization. And we realized, you know, you can't go and ask the sandbox to go and change their file format. You can't go and ask Decentraland to change their format, their file format. The best way is to actually provide the owner with these multiple file types that work across these different worlds. So we get that. So we're going for the second approach. That's the only way at the moment, way forward. There is no JPEG yet for the metaverse. GLB/GLTF does seem to be the way we're going, which is a very positive sign. And we're supporting that as well. We're big fans of, you know, that standard file type. So what we've decided as well to support future metaverses is the creator gives us their best version of their file possible. So this high polygon count, high fidelity, really highly detailed file that technically is future proofed. That means that it can work in Unreal Engine 5. You know, it can work in future iterations of, you know, games that, you know, take things to the next level. So they actually give us that file, and we actually make sure that that file can be minted within our 1 gigabyte max file size on the blockchain as an NFT. And that's the master file. And then we get that master file and we put it through our conversion technology. We've got a bunch of 3D modelers in-house as well. And we put it through this technology and it processes this file and optimizes it for each metaverse. So you get a child file, essentially, from that master file, which can be used. You get one optimized for Decentraland. You get one for Spatial. You get one for Somnium Space, CryptoVoxels, and so on. So you get this bundle, and that is the NFT that we've created, this bundle of files. And then actually the child files are in the metadata, which can be called by the individual metaverses. That's the technical side. The really interesting side that we think is that because you get this master file, the artist's best version of their work, you get this future-proofed version, which, and at the moment, you know, the cloud gaming is just not quite there yet, and we know that that's where we're going. So we're calling this master version the future-proof version, and as more metaverses come online, such as we're working with Wilderworld, we've also, obviously, there's a lot of talk now about the other side, and they built in Unreal Engine 5. So the NFTs that you get on Metamundo will actually convert that master file. We'll make an optimized version for Wilderworld, which is in Unreal Engine, and then other side as well. And as more metaverses appear, we'll continue adding to your bundle.
About a minute ago, you said that was the technical part. I got to give it to you. You really broke it down in a way that I would believe to be understandable by most. You took this esoteric concept and really presented it well. So I thank you for that. And I've heard you on other podcasts, and you're quite, even on technical podcasts, you're quite good at that. So I appreciate your attempt and what I would call your success at doing so. I'm going to pivot back towards the marketplace because I love talking about roadmaps and you know, if I could get a little bit of alpha out of you, that'd be great too. And I'm sure listeners would be appreciative of it. Even if it's not, you know, related to crypto or token, but just, you know, information alpha, which people love. So what can we expect of this marketplace? What is the experience? You know, you mentioned that you're not going to create a metaverse or a virtual world But seeing that you're presenting, metaverse files, so 3D renders, and in some instances, VR immersive experiences, how do you present that on a website in a marketplace? I feel like that's a very interesting UX and design choice.
It's also a little bit, we're not eating our own dog food, really, right? Because if we were to make the ultimate metaverse NFT marketplace, we should be building it in 3D. And that's where we should be. And I think that's where we should be moving to. So and this is why we believe that there is, a real need for a dedicated 3D NFT marketplace. If we look right now at the user experience buying, you can buy an asset for Decentraland on OpenSea, for example, or for the Sandbox. The experience of buying that asset and being able to understand truly what you're buying is missing. And their platform is built for JPEGs originally, right? And PNGs and 2D. So when we've been working really hard in building our own immersive viewer. So when we go live, you will actually be able to view the model, walk around it, experience it, and look at all of the details of this model. And that's our own viewer. And then you'll also be able to very clearly see all of the different versions of that model that you get for each world. Including that, you'll also get the details about the model, the polygon count, how much land do you need to put on to put that model on, for example, a plot of land on Decentraland or on a plot of land in CryptoVoxels or in Somnium Space. So we're actually providing all of these details so that you can really understand how the model will work in each different metaverse. And you will actually really be able to walk around it, experience it, and we'll continue developing more immersive experiences after we launch to make it even more interactive.
That's fantastic. And I know I can count on you guys to have an excellent user journey because just from the early stages of your launches, you guys have been so focused on the user journey. Even the claim for the Meta Portal was designed with a considerable amount of energy and focus towards the journey. It was as good a claim drop as I've experienced. So hats off to you guys. And I'll use that as a transition into a question about community. You guys are essentially, the way I see it, and maybe you could tell me I'm wrong, currently operating in a pseudo B2B capacity. Looks like you'll be moving to B2B2C and eventually B2B2C. That's like the journey I see. But that being said, you already have like 10,000 people in the Discord and like 30,000 people on Twitter. So you've generated a community, which is not a B2B function, right? So you guys are in this really interesting position. And I would love to get your take on building a community, designing for a community, and how you see MetaMundo operating as B2B2C or some other acronym to describe what you do.
And yeah, I mean, community is obviously so important to us, and obviously so important to any Web3 project. This is some alpha, so I can share this.
I wish I had a radio station where I could hit a siren like woo woo like.
For us, the Meta Portal was a showcase of our technology. We think it's a really important device for the metaverse. It's an important piece of technology. It allows you to navigate two different worlds. It connects these open metaverses that were not connected before. It brings us all together. It's actually been compared, one of our advisors, John Radoff, the author of Building the Metaverse, he likened the Meta Portal to a web ring, which was basically web one technology on how you navigated websites or you navigated the web before search or just as search was emerging. So yeah, we do everything with search, right? That's how we find different websites. And a web ring was actually, yeah, multiple hyperlinks where websites would share hyperlinks to navigate from one to another. So this is essentially, we're actually creating web one, a web one concept in the web three metaverse world to help connect these different worlds. So we thought that was necessary. And then the next reason we wanted to do the meta portal was we wanted to create the best community of metaverse ambassadors and advocates as we could. So we set out with the mission to not just have as many followers and community members as possible. Yes, there are many PFP projects with a lot more Discord members than us. But I mean, we didn't run, you know, every single Discord member, I think, that we have, every community member is genuinely a metaverse ambassador and advocate in Metamundo. And the reason why we wanted that was, you know, we do want to give back to the community. This is the alpha. The meta portal owners, they will actually start being able to vote on some of the experiences that will be developing and that they can also be developing for the meta portal and related around Metamundo. So this is the beginning of actually, you know, a mini DAO. And meta portal owners get a vote on what the meta portal can do, where it will take them, what kinds of destinations, what kinds of experiences do people want to see in the metaverse. And we could not have done this unless we actually put a lot of time and effort into building this, you know, core community of metaverse ambassadors and advocates. And we did that through our amazing partners. So Polygon Studios, Animoca Brands, Every Realm, we Grow Your Base, the list goes on of these amazing partners that we have in, you know, in this space.
Shout out to the homies, right? You know, with that, what I heard was Metamundao. Okay, we could end the conversation here if that was too corny or reductive for you. You know, with that, we try to keep it short here, 30-minute tidbits. We're coming up on time here. So I want you to take this time for yourself, the last couple of minutes here, to talk about anything Metamundo related, aesthetics related, architecture related. You know, you're a man of many interests and talents. So what are you finding interesting these days, and what do you want to relay to the Polygon Studios community?
That's a good one. I mean, my mind right now is fully focused on developing our marketplace and the drops and what kinds of assets and experiences people want to see in the metaverse. I'd love to actually just give a shout out if anyone wants to suggest any ideas of what they want to see in the metaverse. Join our Discord. You can contribute there. The team is there. I think something that I'm, you know, thinking a lot about is how are we going to onboard these, you know, 68 million users of Fortnite and 50 million users of Roblox into these, which I think are, you know, amazing blockchain powered metaverses. I think always a good judge of, you know, being an entrepreneur is see what the kids are doing. So whenever I go back to see my family, I always catch up with my nephew who's 10 years old, who's just phenomenal on Fortnite and doing lots of stuff on Roblox. And I said to him, you know, how many wearables do you have for Fortnite? And he said, I've got over 100 wearables. And I was like, what if Fortnite just stops, right? And like, how do we get him into, you know, these really engaging experiences in the metaverse? So something I'm thinking a lot about is, you know, what can we build that's better than, you know, what's currently there? And just some of the experiences. I know there's treasure hunt, there's pop treasure hunts. And so you can see actually some of the history with Roblox. Their success came from a number of just actually a handful of games. And you can see the growth curve really go up in terms of daily users for Roblox. After they launch just this handful of games, there's one game which is the Tower of Doom, which you climb to the top and you fall down. There's another game where you can get chased by a giant pig down the street. And we need to be thinking about this stuff so that, you know, we can make it that on the playground, on social media, the kids are going, you got to go check this out. And it's just an open question. And I'm thinking about it all the time. I think we're developing, personally, in-house at Metamundo and with our creators, some of these experiences. And I'm super excited for the marketplace to launch and for people to actually see how these can be used and how they will work within each metaverse. But we've got to keep pushing, all of us, everyone in this industry, we've got to keep thinking about how we can create even more dynamic, engaging experiences.
Such great parting words, Mark. I really appreciate it. And, you know, you're a deep thinker on the subject matter. And oftentimes it's hard to actually take a step back and develop these thoughts and be philosophical about the future when it comes to the metaverse, because you're so heads down building and you're so stuck in the now. And you kind of outsource that to the trend forecasters and to the futurologists, but you have quite a bit of that in yourself. And I appreciate hearing your thoughts on the matter. It was great having you on this episode. You know, I'll leave it to you to let our audience know how to find you. Where are you?
I'm on Twitter. Max Dotome on Twitter. I'm in our Discord. You can go in and chat with me on our Discord. Visit metamundo.co. You can go there. You'll find all the links there. I'm also on our Metamundo Twitter, so happy to chat there too. And actually, if anyone is in Amsterdam 14th to the 17th of June, we will be at Metaverse Amsterdam, which is a pretty exciting event. So I'll be there. Very happy for people to get in touch with me.
Awesome. You're giving me a reason to go to Amsterdam, I think. But yeah. Unfortunately, I will not be there, though. Have a good time. Mark, thanks again. It was great having you.
Thanks, Brian.
You can catch a new episode of Port Zero every other Friday. And you can also catch the Polygon Studios crew delivering a weekly video briefing on the Polygon Studios YouTube. That's every Wednesday. Be sure to follow Polygon Studios at Polygon Studios on Twitter and all other social media, Discord included. So, you know, don't be afraid to join our beautiful burgeoning community. And this is Brian Trunzo again signing off. Thank you for listening to Port Zero.